Ramsey TV.
What, pink and green don't go together? That was a bad choice. But this is not really pink, it's salmon. Salmon and green is bad too. All right, I'm gonna change the light. Hang on, because what color?
Let's see. All you gotta do is tap this thing, let it ride. Now it's gonna turn blue. What about blue and salmon? Still no good? Okay. Let it go through its cycle. I like that.
That a little better? Okay, purple and salmon here. On MCTV, this is Martin Zender. Hi, everybody. Sorry for the rough start here. Yeah, I can't dress myself either. Tomorrow night, I'm going to see you tomorrow night. Can you believe it? This is going to be great. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow night, there's a meet and greet. What time are you supposed to be there? 6 to 7:30? No, wait a minute. Oh, hotel check-in is 4 p.m., so meet and greet will unofficially be 4 p.m. So you can come as early as 4 p.m. to the meet and greet. However, you won't be able to imbibe of the nacho bar, which will be made available by the conference hosts, until 6 o'clock. No nachos until 6. They're only going to serve nachos from 6 to 7:30. But apparently we can be there for as long as possible. So if you want to get there at 4 p.m., I don't know. I might still be taking a nap. I'll be there ASAP. You want to know where the meeting is, of course, for those of you unaware of this. And again, it's not too late to go to the conference. Just drive there. There's a Motel 6. There's a Super 8. We are going to be at the Holiday Inn Des Moines Airport / Conference Center. It's right by the airport. Holiday Inn, Des Moines Airport Conference Center. And the meet and greet tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, 4 to whenever, will be in room 397. 397. I will meet you in room 397. I asked Wes if this was like somebody's room. Like, do they have two double beds in this room or what? No, he said it's a little conference room on the third floor. So go to the third floor, go to room 397, make sure you're at the right hotel, Holiday Inn Des Moines Airport / Conference Center, and I will see you there. I was just sitting outside having a little cigarette, and I came up with my 9 themes. I knew it. I knew God would give me some insight about what to talk about. Because it's very difficult. It's tricky because you have people who have been to lots of conferences. And then from what I understand, we're going to have new people there. And so it's hard to know where to cater to the mature or to the young or to the new, to the old. So you just have to, I have to find something that I like. As I'm thinking through topics in my mind, I'm thinking, what do I like? And I can't really tell you what they are because they're on my phone, my notepad's on my phone, and I'm recording with my phone, so I can't tell you right now. You just have to come to the conference and be surprised. So I'm not going to talk about the controversy today. I'm not going to talk about it at the conference. In private, I'm sure we'll talk about it, but it's not my intention to start a conflagration at the conference. I'm not going to do that. But as I get told over and over again that I don't understand, you don't understand where we're coming from. You just don't understand our point. So when the point is explained to me further and further and further, it still falls into one of two categories. That is the Costin camp, which I explained yesterday, that the salvation well is the gospel, and the DBTs don't believe that. Which says, you know, believing the gospel's good, but you have to add this. You have to add not believing in this and this. So I can't get even the more they explain it to me, the more I see how it fits into those categories, into one of those two categories. But I'm getting new insights. That's what's great about this. The more I look at their evidence, what they think is evidence, the deeper I look into it, and controversies cause this, and the more I see nuance in these particular contexts, namely Romans chapter 3, the righteousness of God, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, lawlessness and righteousness, and Christ and Belial, and light and darkness contrast. I'm getting great new insights, so I'm thankful for all of this. All right, now, one of the biggest indications that we are in the last days, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be brief. I can't go into detail. I've got like 23. This is what I didn't realize. There are 23 examples of the 6-1 ratio. For those of you who haven't heard of this, the 6-1 ratio is a precedent set in Genesis where God creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days, or should I say, he recreates the earth in 6 days, and then he stops on the seventh day. The reason we have a week is because of the creation week. It was a literal week, sun up, sundown, day one, sun up, sundown, day two, sun up, sundown, day three. Literal week, don't let anybody tell you they're epochs, long periods of time, church history. People make up all kinds of inventive things that are all wrong. We have to believe God. Oh, one of the talks is going to be called God Loves to Be Believed. You're going to hear that talk if you're going to be in Iowa. Of course, it will be live streamed. So anybody who's not coming to the conference, on the day of the conference, I think it starts maybe 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock Saturday. I'm sorry, I don't know that. Go to my homepage, martinzender.com, and you will find a live stream. That's Seth Vollenkamp's department. He is going to hook up the live stream. Hopefully there are no technical glitches. We will do the best we can. I am going to be recording independently of the live stream, so I'll be able to bring you my individual talks. Later on, I'll make them an MZTV creation. So, yeah, the live stream. So, 6-1. And we see, I didn't realize how many 6-1 patterns there were. Well, why is that important, Martin? Well, because in Peter, namely 2 Peter 3:8, he says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day." And we know that the kingdom is 1,000 years. And Paul says in Hebrews, there remains a Sabbath stopping for the people of God. So we see extrapolated a very large 6-1 period, which would be 6,000 years of humanity and 1,000 years of rest. You see how that parallels the 6-1 creation, 6 days, literal days, one day of stopping. And Paul in Hebrews, don't have the verse for you right now. Oh, yes, I do. It's in, read all of Hebrews, you'll find it. There remains a Sabbath stopping for the people of God, and that stopping is 1,000 years. We know that from the book of Revelation, the 1,000-year period. So wouldn't it stand to reason then that 1,000 years would be preceded by 6,000 years of the human race, of humankind being given its time upon the stage of life and failing miserably? And there are so many references to 6-1. This would be depressing if we were in the year 300 or if we were in the year 1200, but we're not. We are at the end of the 6,000-year period. All you got to do is count the years from Adam. And when you count 6,000 years, then the time of humanity on this earth in all its inglorious utility will be over. And then the 7,000th year is, seven is the perfect number. This begins God's time on earth, God's rest, I should say, God's rest for his people Israel, in which they will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then after that, the eighth day, the 8,000th year begins the new heavens and the new earth. And in scripture, 8 is a number of a new beginning. There were 8 people on the ark. 8 is the number of Christ. When you look at gematria, anytime you add up the numbers, if you don't know what gematria is, look it up. G-E-M-A-T-R-I-A. It is internal evidence that the scriptures are inspired. 8 is the number of Christ. 666 is the number of the ultimate number of humanity. 777 is all God. 888 is a new beginning and also Christ. So this, it's all real. This stuff is real. So all you got to do is count the years from Adam. People have done it. They've counted the years from Adam. And we are very close. We're somewhere around 5993. Seems to be. There's always a give and take of a couple years. Only 7 years left until the 6,000th year. And we know that there's a 7-year tribulation. And I do believe that 7-year tribulation will begin soon. So we have the Sabbath principle. I'm referencing a website here. I'm embarrassed to tell you this website. It's BibleBaptistPublications.org. Yeah. BibleBaptistPublications.org. I know I've said before that whatever Christianity believes the opposite. That's a bit of hyperbole because, I mean, they do believe some things correctly, like Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The angels sang glory, glory, glory to God in the highest. That's true. They believe that. They believe that Jesus Christ was crucified in Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem. So it's not that every single thing Christianity believes is wrong, but they just misapply everything. They know that there's going to be a snatching away. They call it a rapture, but they misapply it. They don't apply it to the right people. They don't know who it's intended for. I hate to tell them it's not intended for them, but that's another story. We're going to have Q&As at the conference. So any questions you might have, folks, if you're going to be there, write them down. Apparently, Wes Follenkamp tells me I'm going to be in charge of the Q&A, which I love. So that's going to be a joy. Listen to this. The idea, it's not an idea. I think it's a truth. It's a fact. A. Enoch, the translator of the Concordant Literal New Testament, has said that what we can't actually put faith in this, we can't believe it because it's not stated in the scripture. There's no obvious scripture that says, hey, there's a 6,000 year plan. All you got to do is count the years from Adam. When you get to 6,000, the end of 6,000 years, then that's when Christ is going to return. And the 7,000th year will be the millennial kingdom. After that, number 8, new beginning, the new heavens and new. Now, there's no scripture that says that you have to put pieces together. But A. Enoch said it is an elegant. It is an elegant truth. It's very compelling. And just because some Christians have believed it in the past, we can't throw that out. They will misapply it every time. But they have found things. You know, there are Christian archaeologists who have dug up some amazing things that prove to us, as we don't need proof, we walk by faith. But it is nice when they dig up pieces of the city of Ur, where Abraham was from, or they find the name Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. That's always nice. They find the name Pontius Pilate inscribed on a stone near Jerusalem. It's always good. The idea that God has a 7,000-year plan is not a new one. In fact, it has been around for many centuries. The Epistle of Barnabas. Now, don't think for a second I think any of these writings I'm about to quote to you are inspired, the inspired word of God. They're not. But this is interesting. I didn't know this. The Epistle of Barnabas taught it in the first century AD by stating that, and here's a quote from the Epistle of Barnabas. Barnabas, a compatriot of Paul's. I'm not vouching for the veracity of this, but I like it. Sounds good. I hope it's true. The Epistle of Barnabas taught in the first century AD by stating that, quote, in 6 days, that is, in 6,000 years, all things will be finished. This means when his son, coming again, shall destroy the time of the wicked man and judge the ungodly and change the sun and the moon and the stars, then shall he truly rest on the seventh day. If you happen to have an Epistle of Barnabas nearby, next to your Better Homes and Gardens, you'll find that in chapter 15, verses 4 and 6. Irenaeus, oh good old Irenaeus. I think I went to high school with an Irenaeus. Irenaeus taught this in the 2nd century. Commodianus, he invented the toilet. He taught it in the 3rd century. And who taught it in the 4th century? I'm glad you asked. That would be Lactantius. He instructed women how to nurse their babies. Lactantius. He wrote that, quote, the world must continue in its present state through 6 ages, that is 6,000 years. At the end of the 6,000th year, all wickedness must be abolished from the earth. That's not going to happen. There's still going to be people tossed in Gehenna during the 1,000 years. Criminals, according to Isaiah chapter 66, and righteousness reign for 1,000 years. Well, he should have stuck to teaching women how to nurse their babies. He wrote this in a publication called The Epitome of the Divine Institutes, chapter 70, if you happen to have that volume nearby. We quote such authors, say the folks at BibleBaptistPublications.org, because we believe they understood what the Bible had taught all along about God's prophetic plan, and that these truths have been neglected for centuries by most scholars and commentators, largely because it was a seemingly insignificant doctrine centuries ago. Well, centuries ago, I can't see how they would have loved it. Anybody who loved Christ appearing, anybody who wanted this veil of tears to end, would be depressed to find out that we need the 6,000 years to go by. And what year are we in? 700? Oh, shit. That'd be really depressing. No wonder it was neglected. Now people are like, hey, what was that 6-1 thing again? Yeah, because now we're in the time of the expiration of the 6,000 years. Neglected by most scholars and commentators, largely because it was a seemingly insignificant doctrine centuries ago, and it is a negative and uncomfortable doctrine to many today. Negative and uncomfortable doctrine to many today. What are these people's problems? People who love the eon, it's negative. They don't want the judgments to come. They don't want to see the trials of Revelation come to a city near them. Our position is that a Bible doctrine is a Bible doctrine, regardless of what people think of it. Yeah, Baptists, why don't you folks grab onto some important Bible doctrines? Like salvation of all is a good one. Talked about Hebrews. I'm going to give you one more example here. And then I have many more examples, and I'll get into them next week after the conference. Enoch, you know, this was the 7th from Adam. The writer of this article says, if I were to ask you to name the first man to prophesy the second coming, who would you name? If you are thinking of anyone in the New Testament, you're way too late. If you are even thinking of any of the standard Bible prophets, you're still too late. Strange as it may seem, the second coming of Christ was first prophesied before Noah's flood. Listen to this. It's pretty interesting, which makes the flood a type of the second coming. Well, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Mankind. We learn this from Jude, verse 14. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 14. Quote, and Enoch also, the 7th from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes among 10,000 of his saints. Unquote. This tells us that God has planned an earthly kingdom since the very beginning. No surprise there. In fact, Jude's words offer us a very strong hint as to when this kingdom will be by telling us that Enoch was the 7th from Adam. Question, why would it matter that Enoch was the 7th from Adam? My friends, the Bible is filled with truth-telling prophets who have no connection to the number 7 at all. Yet for some reason, the Holy Spirit wants us to know that the first man to prophesy the second coming was connected to the number 7. That is significant. I think they're onto something there. Could it be that this is because Christ's second coming will begin the 7th day or 7th millennium on God's calendar? Yes, I say yes. And I know you with me say yes. I got about 21 or so other points from this really interesting article. I think it's well done. It's pretty thorough. And I didn't know there were so many 6-1 things. And then we're also going to get into the 2 days since Christ, the two prophetic days, two 1,000-year periods. So that is also very interesting. I'm always glad you're here. Tomorrow, I'm going to run a talk, going to publish a talk I did in Phoenix, Arizona. That was the last conference. Some of you might have seen it during the live stream. Some of you have never seen it. So I will probably make a show for you from my hotel room at the conference that I'll publish on Monday, because yeah, I know you need this. I want this. I'm going to be so busy, but I love it. This is what I do. I live for this. So I am looking forward to it. So tomorrow, one of my talks from Phoenix, Arizona, and on Monday, I'll tell you some good news from the conference. Maybe it'll be a report about the joys that God brings. And if the snatching away happens, let's say at the conference, well, I'll meet you in the air.